We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Webster defines trivia as bits of information that are of little value. Webster never played Stump the Chumps, a Kansas City institution for a quarter century. If you like sports trivia and free stuff, this is your chance. All you gotta do is stump the chumps. And here they are, Soren Petro, Pete Enoch, and Curtis Siebold.
Yes, indeed. Webster never did play Stump the Chumps, and if I'm not mistaken, Webster never ate at Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen either. If he knew that you could take these morsels, these nuggets of sports history, and turn them into meals at Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen, he would understand all the better. Great Cajun food at Jazz is what we're going to play for. The Legends out by the racetrack, 39th and State Line, the original right there by the KU Med Center, and out in Independence, I-70 and 291. That is where you can find Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Great Cajun food. Taking precautions, all the safety protocols. If you'd like to dine in, Jazz is ready for you to dine in. If you'd like to carry out, that's fine too. Just get that great Cajun food right now at Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. You can find them online at jazzkitchen.com. That's jazzkitchen.com. We'll give it to you if you can stump the chumps. Ask us a question of sports history. If we don't know the answer, you're halfway home. We'll give you an answer. Give you a question back related to what you asked us or relative to what's going on in the world of sports today. If you get that one right, congratulations. You're going to Jazz for great Cajun food. Petro, Siebold, Marshall, we're joined by Peter Yates Enoch and Todd Lebo. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, Saran. How about you?
I'm great.
Good.
No complaints? All
right.
No complaints whatsoever?
No complaints, Saran. I don't believe that at all.
Let me see. Do I have it? I had.
You do. You got a couple.
Okay, I have a complaint. Mm-hmm. I do have a complaint, and I know another great local restaurateur that Vic would be obliged to tip the cap to. I finished all my Joe's Kansas City barbecue burn-ins today for lunch.
That's your only complaint? That's pretty good. Yeah, seems like you're satisfied.
And Vic could be
that's
proud of you, Saran.
I am not hungry as we sit here. I can tell you that right now. So much love to the folks at Jazz.
Yeah, they do.
And Jeff and Joy. And the folks at Joe's. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
They are just tremendous people. We all saw them when they first started in that little gas station. And
that's right.
Because they won a few awards, you know. And by golly, man, what a – those two people, Jeff and his wife, Joy, who own Oklahoma, I still call it Oklahoma Joe's.
Sure.
What tremendous people. And, of course, they're really good friends of Victor's at Jazz. So they're all in it together.
And what's in my hand but my leftover quart of dirty rice from Joe's from last night.
Oh, boy, it looks tasty. That's heading to Shea Siebold. There you go.
Yeah, it'll be gone by five.
Curtis and I both agreed. We do the. We're pretty good at the. Oh, I'll order way too much food because I'm just going to have it for lunch a couple of days and then just crush it in one meal. So I'm proud of you, Curtis. Because I know you probably did the same thing at Jazz last night, and here you actually had some for lunch. So
and still
to
the top, it's brimming, man.
Yeah, that's how we were when my wife was like. You really, like, 1 pound of burn-ins isn't enough? I'm like, I want it for lunch. And I am proud to say that I had three lunches.
There you go,
so it was well
very
worth
good.
It. Yes, the girls loved it. Mom loves it. I love it. So it was great. So thanks to everybody at Joe's. And we were just at Jazz. I think was race weekend this past weekend? It was the weekend before last.
Last week.
I carried out some Jazz. So thanks to the folks at Jazz because my kids, it's one of the few places I can take my little one. She only eats like five things, but she actually has like two or three different things on the menu that she loves. So
good for her.
Jazz is always,
good
yeah, it's
her.
Always an option for us.
All right,
gentlemen, are we ready to go?
Yep.
Sure thing.
All right, 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Some news, though, real quick before we get started. A change to the Sunday Night Football lineup. It was supposed to be the Bucs and Raiders, and now because of the Raiders sending home folks, the Trent Brown COVID, going into the COVID protocol and them quarantining their offensive line, they're like, we might have some problems here. So they are going to switch that game. Seattle at Arizona is now going to be your Sunday Night Football, which is a very good game as well.
Bad.
I'll watch that game.
Matchup, yeah.
I will take that in.
Take the over.
You like the over?
Right. With those two,
well, they can Russ score. Versus Kyler, that could be.
They can score.
Fun times.
And no Chandler Jones now for the Cardinals. Yeah, that's probably the over's not a bad play.
I don't know what it is, but it's probably going to be high.
It's actually 150. He's
still like I might over. Go under on that. I might go under. Okay. There's a chance.
We'll give you some time to look at some numbers and see what you want to do on that one, Todd.
Okay.
All right. Are we ready, boys?
Yes.
Let's do it.
913-810-810 is the phone number. 913-810-810. Kay, where should we start?
We begin with Vince here in the program. Stump the Chumps, Vince.
Hey, guys. I am looking for the only two NFL franchises that have drafted two different players with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, and both of those players went on to wear the same jersey number with the team that drafted them.
So two teams have had 1-1 twice, drafting two different guys who wore the same jersey number.
Same number. Correct. So you got to go bad teams that have had a lot of 1-1s.
Probably 12.
Right, so let's start with the Bungles. Was there another Kajana Carter, 32? Did they take another 32? Joe Burrow, 9. Did they take somebody else? Did they have another quarterback?
Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer and Joe Burrow at 9.
Ooh, they could have both been 9.
Palmer
they
was
both
9.
Both were the same number?
Palmer was 9.
Yep. We're going to go good. Palmer and Burrow with the Bengals.
Yep, that's correct.
Now, the Browns have had about 7 of them here in the last 10 years, right?
Yeah.
But they had
Miles Garrett and who was the Penn State?
Courtney Brown.
Were they in the 50s?
Yeah, Courtney Brown went 1, and the Penn State linebacker went 2.
LeVar Arrington
Skins,
went 2,
right?
Yeah.
LeVar Arrington. What did Courtney Brown wear?
I think he wore 92.
And who else have they had? Baker, he's 6. They didn't have another 6, probably.
No. Are you
Couch
sure?
Was 2. I thought Brown was 92.
Okay, well, let's think for a minute. But if not, then we can fall back on that. They're at least in the ballpark. 95 is Garrett, right?
Curtis, go through some number one picks. This is your life.
Oh, gee, many Christmas.
The Bills, Bruce Smith, 78. Did they take a tackle 1-1 once or something?
Start with Beatty Feathers and work this way.
Wait. Baker Mayfield's what number?
He's 6. Tim Couch
was
not.
Was two.
Yeah, he was 2. Let's see. Has Arizona had the one besides Kyler Murray? I'm just trying to think recent now.
Cardinals, I think that's the only one they've had.
Taken a
number one.
One
had him wear 1. So then Baker.
Chiefs.
What number did Andrew Luck wear?
He was 12.
Oh, okay, never mind.
But the Colts may have had some other 1-1s.
And this is NFL draft, so an AFL wouldn't count?
Correct. Yeah, this is all common draft.
Okay. All in the common draft. Okay, so I don't need to go back.
That's interesting.
Boy, if you're not coming up with anything,
wow.
Let's just
I'm really struggling.
Who else? The Pats? Drew Bledsoe, 11? Do they? Anybody else?
Plunkett was 16.
Yeah. Niners, Rams. I'm trying to think who else has had the 1-1. Orlando Pace, anybody else for the Rams?
76.
What number?
Merlin Olsen or something? Or
how about the Texans?
With who?
Clowney and who was the other lineman they took number one?
Mario Williams.
They both. Clowney was 90. Did Williams wear 90?
No. Clowney was 99.
Oh, he was.
And Williams was 99, wasn't he?
Well, I might. Well,
or was he 98?
Oh man.
Ooh, that's not bad.
I can't remember.
Okay, I think the Browns or the Texans. Which one do we want to go with?
I'd roll with the Texans.
Okay, Curtis says the Texans.
Guess I should have asked you for the number. Texans, and they both wore 90. Nicely done, gentlemen.
Ooh, 90. Yeah, nice. Nice job.
Wow.
Nice job.
That was fun.
Great question.
I love
great,
that.
Great question. Great,
I wish there were more guys so we could have to get a chance to try to figure out more answers.
I know.
Like 10.
I know. Wow, 2 that have worn. Oh, it's only 2. It's Clowney.
That's crazy.
Huh. I thought for sure Courtney Brown. I was pretty sure that he was 95, but he was 92, huh? Okay. 913-810-810. Great question right there for Vince. You get nothing but the satisfaction of knowing you had a great question. So great way
superb.
To get things started here. Yep, I like it. Who's next?
George, you're in the program. Stump the Chumps, George.
Chumps, who was the first commissioner of the ABA?
ABA? Probably George Mikan.
What was it? George Mikan or was it?
No, well.
Was it George Steinbrenner?
No.
He had something to do with the ABA.
Yeah, he had. He owned the Cleveland team. Cleveland Pipers. He owned the Pipers.
It would have been a good return question if we don't get it. So
George Mikan just sounds And I'll throw that out and somebody else come up with something better.
I got nothing better than that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what other crafty.
I mean, we know Joe Fossey was in football. So.
Well, they didn't do something like, you know, a former baseball commissioner or something?
No, because you had those long-running commissioners then. Kennesaw, Landis, and all those guys were around forever. So
I say stick with Pete.
Yeah.
It came out of the recesses of Pete's mind. It's got to be good.
Okay, we'll go with George Mikan.
Pedro, thanks for trying to talk him out of it.
Pedro, on fire early.
I tried. I did what I could.
Pete's got a first answer. You got to go with it.
Jesus Christ. It's been like 10 weeks, for God's sake. Jesus.
Stop. It's been more like 3 months.
There you go.
Which is actually only a couple of weeks more than 10 weeks. So that's not that good. 913-810-810. Who's next?
Dick, you're in the program. Stump the Chumps, Dick.
Yeah, Chumps. It's World Series time, so tell me the only pitcher to hit a grand slam in a series game.
Dave McNally.
Yep, there you go. That's exactly right.
Too easy for you again.
Thanks.
Yeah, Dick, I appreciate it, buddy. By the way, I like how Dick justifies this question. It's World Series time.
Yeah, I know it.
So he's got a couple of the baseball questions.
A small reminder there.
It'll be 6 weeks from now. No baseball's going on. He'll be like, I got a baseball question for you.
From 1934. On this date.
I know. We're ready. We're ready for you. Dick's one of the best.
Yes, he is.
913-310-810. The phone number, 913-310-810. The best Cajun food anywhere around is at Jazz, the Louisiana Kitchen. By the way, my buddy Steve just got back. He lives in Vegas. He got back from New Orleans, and he still says he thinks the best Cajun meal he's ever – he goes to New Orleans every year. So the best Cajun meal he's ever had is at Jazz here in Kansas City. So I want to point that out. He says that remains the case. So go see him at Jazz, a Louisiana Kitchen. Great Cajun food, something for everybody on the menu. It's at Jazz, a Louisiana Kitchen. We'll give you a chance to get that great Cajun food next if you can stump the Chumps.
The program with Soren Petro.
I used to do subversive radio myself in the 70s, okay? But for this gig, we need a little more positivity, all right?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. The Rays, 28 home runs this year, a new record for a single postseason. Whose record did they break?
The Yankees are usually a pretty good guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Not here, though.
Yankees. Not here, no. 28 postseason home runs. Got to be recent with all the extra playoff games.
It's not the 85 Royals.
No. I think they hit two.
That it's not. Blue Jays?
Mm-mm. World champion. The team won the title the year they did it.
Detroit.
Nope.
Angels?
Nope.
Just trying to think of teams who played a game seven, played a lot of games.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of games and won the title.
I don't know.
Mine.
2017 Houston Astros.
That makes sense.
I think they hit half those in the World Series.
They don't count either, do they?
I think they hit half of them in like game five of the World Series. That crazy back and forth one they kept it. Bombs.
You don't strip them from your personal record book, Curtis?
Probably should.
Yeah, you know, everybody else has.
So then the Giants in 2002.
Losers.
Who also hit 27. I probably should have put them on the list as well.
But Bonds was on roids. Take him out.
See who's next. 2008 Rays hit 26.
Roids.
Because you know Rays, just you think of home runs, you think of the Tampa Bay Rays, right?
Of course I do. I can't think of a player on their team.
you do this year. That's why they're ill-equipped.
The most the Royals hit in a single postseason was 17 back in 2015.
Not bad for them, not being a home run hitting team. 17.
Look at Pete's condescending tone. Good for you guys. Isn't that cute?
Especially since I didn't even know that stat until Curtis blabbed it out.
That's just adorable.
I would like to point out that Curtis did just blab it out.
Yeah.
That is a good way to put it. By the way, we were playing for that great Cajun food from Jazz. a Louisiana kitchen. We'll give you that great, great Cajun food. We got a line open right now at 913-810-810. You can grab it. Great Cajun food from Jazz in Independence down by the Med Center. And, of course, out at the Legends, all you got to do is stump the chumps. Grab that last line, 913-810-810. It is open for you. Curtis, where do we go next?
Let's go to Cameron. You're in the program. Cameron, stump the chumps.
Hey, guys. Hard to follow up Pete's favorite caller, Dick, with a baseball question, but I will try to do my best.
Cameron, stop those fires out in Colorado. I blame you.
Yeah. All right. I am the only former Kansas City Royal to have an ERA under one in my postseason career. Who am I?
What?
And this is a minimum of 30 innings pitched or six decisions.
Or six decisions.
Felipe Paulino. No.
No.
Just try to get the last guy.
No,
who
I'm going to wave that
be.
Off.
Who was a, big reliever in the 70s? And then he went to the Braves.
Mark Littell?
Went to the Braves.
He went to the Braves, and then he scuttled around a little bit in the majors. Hmm. Pretty good relief pitcher. But
under one.
Yeah.
So you're not going to tell him it's a starter or a reliever. You just give him
but he said
parameters.
30 innings.
Yeah.
30 innings pitched.
I mean.
Holy smokes, man. That's a lot.
That's almost half just the starter, doesn't it?
Just to give Royals history? Just to give you like a reference point. The lowest ERA for a career in the postseason is Mariano Rivera, 0.7, and he pitched 141 innings in the postseason.
See, I mean, like Wade Davis was obviously – I just don't know if Wade Davis
– Wait a minute. Can I – this isn't a guy – like all 30-plus innings were pitched in a Royals uniform.
No, I don't think so.
No, he just played for the Royals.
Oh, he played for the Royals. He had 30 innings or six decisions.
Did he have any postseason experience with the Royals?
Oh, no. I can tell you that.
Is he as old as I am?
Okay.
All right. We've gotten somewhere now. He didn't pitch in the postseason for the Royals.
Is he as old as I am?
Well, interesting.
How old are you, Pete?
75.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought it was Gene Garber.
That's enough clues.
Yeah, really.
There's never enough clues, Petro.
Season.
Well, I want to give him a chance at winning.
Well, give him an easy question back.
I've got one. How about so somebody was really, really good in the postseason, went on to play for the Royals.
Or left and played for the Royals.
Or left and played
Or played elsewhere,
else.
Yeah.
Never pitched in the postseason for the Royals.
Like, remember, I mean, this is Ted Power David pitched Cone. For the Royals, but was he on the Reds in 90, Ted Power?
He'd gone to the Royals by then. He was traded to the Royals in 88.
What about David Cone?
That's not bad.
Not even bad at all.
This takes about four starts somewhere, right?
You're going to have to be good. Well, it takes at least four starts. Because if you went three complete games, it's 27. So you still got to go like seven plus to get there. You got to go almost eight. So it's Cone. You got anybody? Got anyone else?
Nope. Not a clue.
Lebo?
No, because it took out a lot of the guys who, you know, like Danny Jackson, Charlie Liebrandt, those guys who went elsewhere because he said they didn't do it with the Royals either.
Saran, it's up to you.
All right.
It's not bad.
The only thing I'm coming up with is David Cone.
Let's go with him.
Is it Cone?
You guys you're going to blister at this one. It's Jeremy Offelt.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to blister. I see what you did there.
I got a World Series question for you.
Okay, I do too. But yours
this is an easy
better.
One. I want to give him one to he's going to win, right?
Yeah.
We'll see. The Rays won their first ever World Series game last night. Okay.
Okay.
Who or their second ever World Series game last night? Who won their first World Series game?
What pitcher got the win?
Yeah.
You mean
what pitcher got the win?
Well, I think I know.
For their first ever World Series game.
Yeah, the one they've only won two. Last night was one. Okay. They won another one. Who's the only other pitcher with a win?
Did the other one play for the Royals at one point?
Yes.
Oh, dang.
It's one of two guys.
This is good. Oh man, I know. Gosh, you guys are killing me. Because I know Wade Davis was a starter once upon a time with the Rays, but then he switched. Then Big Game James. Mm-hmm. Shoot.
Get your coin out.
I know. I'm going to. James Shields.
There you go. Winner.
Nice.
Good job.
Well done,
nice.
Cameron.
Excellent.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
I like it. Excellent.
I like it. 913-3810-810. Who's next?
Let's go to Howard. You're on the program. Howard, stump the chumps.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Howard.
We're looking for a former major leaguer. He had a good career as a pitcher. However, he was a special distinction as an observer because he was on the same team as Gil Hodges. When Hodges hit four home runs in one game, he was on the opposing team when Adcock did it. He was on the opposing team when Colavito did it. He was on the same team as Willie Mays when Mays hit four home runs in one game. Who was he?
So this is a Dodger at one point.
Give me that again.
All-time National
League. Yeah, give me the list again.
Adcock was a
Brave.
Same
team as Hodges, opposing teams, Adcock and Colavito, on the same team as Mays when Mays hit four home runs.
Okay, so he was Mays did it with the Giants. So this was a
National
Dodger and a Giant. It's
a Dodger and a Giant. Sal Megley?
No, he was on the
We're just knocking the
No, I'm here. Just musing.
Jed would buzz you because I was trying to talk to Curtis yesterday.
How about Don Dreisbach?
I didn't think you were musing, Pete. I thought you were going for it. But,
It was a muse because, I mean, Sal Magley's probably too old for this answer.
Didn't run. I mean, they didn't change teams very much back then. So
no, they didn't.
This probably just some. I don't think it's a star.
No,
right?
No.
Giant. What about Dusty Baker?
He wouldn't have been
on the Gil Hodges team.
Okay, that's
no,
right.
No,
right.
You'd be 95 now.
I'm just trying to think of Dodgers and Giants.
Right. Yeah.
Gil
Hodges was in the 50s, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Koufax was in the 60s and the 50s.
But he
Newcomb did not play for the Giants. Bob Miller did
Willie
not.
Mays, I can't remember what year Willie Mays did it. Was this a guy who went Giant then Dodger or Dodger then Giant? I don't have a clue. Just name someone from back then, Pete.
Come on, Pete. Do something.
What's
God
your
sake.
George Mikan? Somebody.
I don't remember the guy that played for the Giants. The Dodgers had plenty of them. Bob Miller. I don't know. Yeah.
Bob Miller.
No, it was Billy Lowe. L-O-E-S.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right. There are six teams that have never won the World Series. The Rays are one of them. Can you name three of the other five?
Rangers?
Are one. Rangers / Senators.
Let me see. Rockies?
Is number two.
Mariners.
Mariners are number three. They are joined by the Brewers and Padres. How about that? We had the Brewers, Padres, and Rays enter the playoffs, never having won the World Series, and the Rays still have a chance. You are a winner. Great Cajun
Thank
food
you.
From Jazz.
Good job.
A Louisiana kitchen is yours. I am very impressed. You will enjoy the great Cajun food. By the way, we will take a quick break and we'll come back, give you a chance. I got a line open at 913-3810-810. If you could stump the chumps, it's just that easy. We just saw how easy it is. All you got to do is stump the chumps. 913-3810-810. We'll even help you along, for crying out loud. Also, I want to remind you, you've heard Todd Lebo on the station talking about it. It's Socktober. You can join us for the Ready to Play $1 million sock giveaway, a virtual fundraiser and sock giveaway benefiting KC area families in need throughout the month of October. You can help Sharewaves, powered by Sports Radio 810 WHB, and Community Services League give away 100,000 pair of Bomba athletic socks to local youth organizations and help us raise money to level the playing field for KC kids who lack the resources they need to get in the game. With your donation of $8.10, you get two chances to win the grand prize. Right? By the way, the grand prize is a Legion of Zoom prize pack. Autographed jerseys from Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, other action photos, autographed, all kinds of great prizes from the Legion of Zoom. That's what you get for the grand prize. And if you donate $250 straight out, you automatically get an autographed Tyreek Hill jersey. While they last, do it right now. Go to sharewavesfoundation.org/Socktober. That's sharewavesfoundation.org/Socktober and make a difference in your community. We'll take a break. When we come back, your chance at Cajun food, Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen, if you can stump the chumps.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Arrogance may not be a uniquely American trait, but I must say you do it better than anyone.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The Program presents Real Men of Trivia.
Real Men of Trivia.
Today we salute you, Mr. Final Caller of the Hour Guy.
Mr. Final Caller of the Hour Guy.
You wait until the final minute of the show to ask a question that lasts 2 minutes.
I don't know how to tell time.
You hear the music. You hear Soren telling you to hurry, but you still keep rambling.
Tick-tock!
You waste time telling us you have a baseball question before asking a question about baseball.
We know who Ty Cobb is.
So, here's to you, Mr. Final Caller of the Hour Guy. When it comes to making sense of your question, you've got us all stumped.
Mr. Final Caller of the Hour Guy.
Stump the Chumps, Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City.
You're listening to the Program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you, Curtis Siebel, Jed Marshall. We are joined by Peter Yates, Enoch, and the great Todd Lebo here for a Stump the Chump Thursday, great Cajun food and jazz. Listen, we're just going to give it to you. You got a question? We're pretty good guys on the return. I don't think anybody can complain about our returns. Lebo, you gave a 50-50, right?
Yeah, we said flip a coin. We gave him hints, too. And we probably would have let him had it even if he guessed wrong. I don't know. Try again.
Yeah, but we didn't.
No, we didn't have to.
So maybe we aren't as nice as I'd like to believe. By the way, real quick before we get back to it, 913-810-810, grab a line if you'd like. Still some time for you here. Pete, how much do you think the Big Ten is going to impact the championship race? Are they going to be forgotten, or is it going to be a big boost to their playoff chances because they get to come in late after things are already running?
I guess it depends on what they do with Ohio State because they're still ranked very high. But I think that looking at the field right here, I like the Hawkeyes this year.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. They're way down. They're rated, I think, number 21, and they'll probably freeze up with Kirk Ferentz the way they always do. But I like this squad right here, and Ohio State just got a ton of – I mean, now they got another – defensive end that's going to be as good as the Boses. How's that happen? I mean, good God.
But kind of a machine.
I think your squad that you kind of like every once in a while, Michigan, or you like their coach, I don't think it's going to happen for them. I think it's going to be Iowa and Ohio State.
I think all the – like Cincinnati is number 8 in the country. Mm-hmm. The small schools have benefited. Like, are they going to start bumping Cincinnati down?
Well, yes, you're a voter. Probably. What are you going to do? You vote. What do you think?
I don't think they will. No, I don't have Cincinnati up there. I get ridiculed by Cincinnati fans and BYU fans because I'm not jamming them all the way up there. But I also don't have it packed with Big Ten schools either.
Right.
So.
Right. Who do you like in the Big Ten, sir? And besides, let's lay Ohio State aside a second because they've only got 7 5-star players that they got last year.
My answer to that would be Penn State, but they're only getting 6 points in Indiana. And Indiana, by the way, is supposed to be a bowl team and be pretty good.
They're playing next week, too, by the way, right? Ohio State, Penn State, I believe.
They play pretty early.
Yeah, it's Halloween. I'm looking at it right now. They play next week.
But so Penn State's got to open with a dangerous Indiana team with a look-ahead situation already to Ohio State. So, yeah.
They're at Indiana?
Yeah, at Indiana.
They might play a pretty decent game. Well, Indiana's had a decent squad the last 2 years.
Yeah, they're at Indiana.
At Indiana. I mean, don't you think that's kind of a scary game with Ohio State?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
you haven't played
a
game yet. We saw what happened with a lot of these places who hadn't had spring practice and all that stuff and played games. Now, Big Ten's been practicing for a while now, but I expect some pretty sloppy football this week from them.
Yeah,
I mean,
Michigan
what we've seen opens, everywhere, right?
Michigan opens at Minnesota.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good ball game. What are we going to do with Nebraska? They're going to have to come back into the Big 12 with their tails between their legs. I mean, God, come on, Nebraska, do something, would you? Are you listening up there? Do something.
I'm okay if they never do something.
Come on, Nebraska.
Really? I still haven't forgotten
Curtis, according to the odds makers, you don't have to worry about this weekend being the week that they do something because they're 26-point dogs to Ohio State.
If they do something this week, it's going to be something.
Oh, man. Be something. What? God, what happened to the old, what happened to our buddies from the 90s, Saran, when we did the show? All those great ball players they had. God.
It's gone away. Man, it certainly has.
I knew it was happening when I saw that the first time in 35 years Nebraska didn't have an all-conference offensive lineman. They used to have three or four when they were in the Big Ten. Now they got nothing.
Yeah, it turns out people stopped running the triple option. That was the problem.
Suddenly, human refrigerators weren't as valuable.
Yeah. They have not evolved since then.
No, they haven't.
It hasn't gone well enough for Scott Frost yet. You know, he brought in a wide open offense. He was, you know, he was at Oregon before. Then he went to Central Florida. They were very good, and it just had. It's taken a while for it to kind of gel there.
A while.
And well, this is only his third year.
Well, but, I know it, but
and this is a weird year for it. So yeah, they're behind the eight ball for sure. Yeah.
All right, just want to get your thoughts. All right, 913-3-810-810. Where do we go next, Kay?
Let's go to Pat. You're in the program. Stunt the Chumps, Pat.
Yeah, they can come back to the Missouri Valley, Pete.
There we go.
I've got a baseball one here.
Okay.
The designated hitter going into the National League. Got rid of the pitchers hitting. Bob Gibson, Drysdale, and all those were big-time hitters. So I got to looking at the Royals and the Kansas City A's. I want to know what pitcher pitched for either the Kansas City A's or the Kansas City Royals is the franchise leader in home runs hit. They hit all of them for either the A's or the Royals.
Fitz Morris. I was a good hitter, right?
Who's that?
Fitz?
Most.
Yeah, Fitz Morris.
Wait a minute. So it's most home runs hit by a pitcher wearing an A's, Kansas City A's, or Kansas City Royals uniform?
Well, the A's didn't hit home runs, so let's just get rid of them. Is Fitz Morris?
He was a good hitter.
Yeah, he was.
He was a good hitter.
He was a good hitter, for sure. But is it home runs hit by a guy that wore a Royals uniform? Or just while in a Royals uniform?
No, while in a Royals A's uniform, hit the most home runs.
Well,
okay.
No pitcher from the A's.
I don't remember Split being a good hitter. I mean,
no. Fitz was an outfielder for crying out loud first. Yeah. So
yeah. I mean, hell, the Kansas City A's. One year, their entire squad hit 13 home runs.
Okay. So all right, we're gonna try Al Fitzmaurice.
Good guess, not the right one. I thought Pete would come up with Mickey McDermott, who hit four. But the leader is Jim Rucker, who hit five.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Jim Rucker.
Man.
Tell me, name any one of the three tight ends that have more 100-yard receiving games than Travis Kelce. Actually, I'm sorry, there's five. There's six. Name any one of the six.
That have 100-yard games.
More 100-yard receiving games in their career than Kelce.
Ten. Gonzalez.
There you go. You got it.
Nice
you
work.
Nailed it. Number one with 31. Pete, Todd, appreciate it, buddy.
All right.
Blair Kirkhoff is next.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, Corey Seager has seven home runs in this postseason. Three players have hit eight homers in a single postseason. Name any one of them. Brought to you by Good Sense.